41. Scope of Duties. Pure joy filled Modo's heart as he lowered himself down and swung to the ground in front of the group. Yes, Mr. Socrates still had his gun pointed at him. Lizzie had raised her machete and Octavia was holding her stiletto, but it was the look on Tharpa's face that Modo loved the most. He'd surprised his teacher. He'd sneaked through the trees above them without even the slightest creak of a branch or rustle of a leaf. Tharpa's smile grew ear to ear, and Modo believed he even looked proud. Mr. Socrates shook his head. Was it pride on his master's face, too? It was all so perfect. Octavia ran toward him, and he prepared to catch her in his arms, but just before she reached him he heard a rustling above him, and behind him the soft thud of feet. He turned to see three of the rain people, their spears out and aimed at his companions. The warriors had followed him the whole way. Tharpa lifted his machete as Mr. Socrates raised his elephant gun. The warriors prepared to launch their spears. No! Modo shouted, standing between the two parties. Then he remembered their situation and whispered, No, they're with me. He pointed at the spears, gesturing to the warriors to throw them down, but no one understood, or they weren't willing. Modo claimed a spear from one warrior and tossed it to the ground. The other two followed his example. They're friends, he said, pointing toward Mr. Socrates. He clasped both hands together as though shaking hands with himself, trying to get the message across. Good friends. One of the warriors mimicked his hand gesture, so Modo hoped that meant they understood. You little devil! Mr. Socrates grabbed Modo by the shoulder. For a moment he thought his master was going to hug him, but Mr. Socrates slapped Modo's back. You're alive, he whispered. How is that even possible? I have the rainforest to thank for that, Modo whispered. And my training, of course. But where were you? Octavia gave him a brief hug, then backed away just as quickly. Modo was breathless. She had hugged him in front of everyone. It was so wonderful to see her face again. What happened? She asked. Tell us, you scoundrel, now. He took a deep breath and told them. When it came to the point in the story where he climbed out of the pit, he hesitated. Should he mention that he thought the tribe was worshipping him? Would Mr. Socrates think he'd grown vain? But he could only give them his interpretation of the facts. It was what he had been trained to do. It has to do with my face, sir, he said to Mr. Socrates, and then looked at Lizzie briefly. Your secret's safe with Lizzie, Mr. Socrates said. I've known her for over 20 years. She's rock solid. Carry on. And my secret is safe with Tavia, Modo thought. Otherwise Mr. Socrates would have heard his story in private. All his secrets were safe with her. He explained the events with the tribe in as much detail as possible. The presence of the tall warriors standing silently behind him added credence to the tale. Stunning, Mr. Socrates said. His shocked tone made Modo proud of how he'd handled himself. How many of them were there? Mr. Socrates' measuring eyes were on the tribesmen. 15 warriors, sir. Maybe 40 tribespeople in total, Modo replied. There may be other clans. This was the only one I saw. Can you command them? Modo hesitated. Command them? Do they listen to your orders? They dropped their spears for you. Can you communicate effectively with them? Yes, to some extent. Though now he thought of it, the girl, Nulu, had helped to interpret much of what he'd said. The other natives had seemed too much in awe of him to comprehend what he wanted. Perfect. With 15 warriors on our side, we could, in the dark of night, sweep down and fight our way into the temple, if necessary. These rain people look to be fine physical specimens, and certainly have tremendous knowledge of the forest. They'd be a great asset in our cause.
Our cause? Modo echoed.
You said they worshipped you.
Worship? No, I misspoke. They were affected by my appearance, that's all.
A small distinction, Modo. This is one of those odd intersections of life. They probably worship an idol or a spirit god with a face they see as being similar to yours. We must take advantage of this.
But back on the ship you said we shouldn't interfere with these tribes. that they were children, Modo reminded him. As a society, our role is to lead them gently toward progress. Those were your words.
Thank you for quoting my own words back to me.
Mr. Socrates narrowed his eyes and spoke deliberately and coldly.
All right, then. You listen well, Modo. But hear this. In optimum conditions, we should proceed with a policy of non-interference. But at the moment, we are in a desperate situation.
He gestured toward the temple with the elephant gun. The Clockwork Guild is right there in front of us. Perhaps even as we discuss these niceties, they are uncovering a weapon that could turn the tide of any battle. Do you want the Guild to own that weapon?
No.
Modo cursed his stutter. Mr. Socrates seemed to be the best at bringing it out.
Then command these warriors to become our allies.
They're not mine to command.
Even as he spoke, Modo knew there'd be terrible consequences. But he managed to stop his voice from wavering, and even straightened his back.
Are you refusing me?
Mr. Socrates asked so quietly that Modo barely heard him.
No, never.
Then have these natives return to their tribe, and bring the rest of their warriors here.
Modo's mouth was dry. He imagined the men being cut down by rifles, the tribe having no one left to protect them. All this just to retrieve some ancient trinket.
With the greatest respect, I cannot do that, sir.
Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Octavia stiffen, preparing for a blast. Tharpa's face was unreadable. Mr. Socrates gave Modo a look of such fury that his eyes seemed to glow.
No.
His whisper was hoarse.
It was an order, Modo.
I cannot obey, sir. I don't believe following that particular command is within the scope of my duties.
Your duty is to me and to me alone,
Mr. Socrates shouted. Everyone seemed to cower and exchange concerned looks. The natives picked up their spears again and began whispering to one another.
I know that, sir. I'll do anything you command with my own person. I would die if you so require.
Modo,
Octavia said.
You stay out of this,
Mr. Socrates commanded, without turning his eyes away from Modo.
So, you are disobeying a direct order?
If you see it as such.
I do see it as such.
Modo couldn't bear the disappointment in his master's eyes. Mr. Socrates had always been so logical, but now his anger made him appear maniacal. Only days earlier, Modo had been calling him father. Only minutes earlier, Mr. Socrates had celebrated Modo's return. Why did it have to come to this?
I cannot go against my conscience, sir.
If this were the infantry, I'd have you tied to a cannon wheel and flogged.
Mr. Socrates' hands were gripping the elephant gun so tightly that Modo wondered if he was itching to shoot him.
But we need you to complete this assignment. I'll tell you now that when we are back in England, you'll no longer be allowed to be an agent in the field. You'll return to Ravenscroft for retraining and re-education regarding your duties.
I will accept any punishment you deem fit, sir.
Yes, you will.
Now send your minions away. The rest of you, follow me up this ridge. Mr. Socrates trudged past Modo, whose eyes were downcast.
Modo didn't care to look anyone in the eye. Especially Octavia.
After his companions had disappeared into the foliage, Modo turned to the warriors. They were brave, and they'd proved they could be fierce. Was he wrong? If they died willingly, wasn't it their choice? But who'd look after Nulu? Who'd feed the children who in turn chewed the food for the elderly? No, it wasn't right. He took the nearest warrior by the shoulder and pointed him back toward their village.
Go! Go home! This is no place for you!
They stood there and stared at him, their faces solemn. Then, finally, Modo pointed again, this time with his remaining little finger, and the warriors, still facing him, nodded, backed quietly away, and became shadows.